Hello, everyone. Today we are with Representative Kyan Michael. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. This is very exciting and right before Thanksgiving and right after such a great event with you all. So
yes.
I am blessed to be here.
We're very appreciative. To start, can you tell us what prompted you to run for office?
You know, I think after seeing the 2020 election and what happened there, I knew immediately I needed to do something. I think a lot of people who are serving in one form or another, whether it be someone who's working the polls or whether it's someone that decided to run for a school board, or it may be someone who decided to get involved with like CDF, or those of us who were brave enough to bite the bullet and decide to run for office. I think we all knew as Americans that love our nation and that want to preserve the greatness of America. I think all of us in some kind of way, if we are freedom fighters, we felt the need to do something. And this was my something, this to run for office. And I knew once Biden said that he was going to open the borders, I knew that he was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And I knew it would be disastrous for our nation, for our state, for us as Americans who are used to freedom, and for our families. And that is what prompted me to run for office. And of course, it is nothing that inspired me more than just losing our son, Brandon, to the onslaught of illegal immigration and open borders.
I've heard you say previously that you were an angel mom. Could you explain
Yes.
what that means for our listeners?
Sure. And unfortunately, it's a family that nobody really wants to join. I definitely would not have chosen that. But it's families who have been impacted in a negative way by the open borders, by illegal immigration. And in my case, and it happens very often, unfortunately, we've lost a loved one. Our son, Brandon, 21 years old, was killed by a twice deported illegal that crossed our borders twice. I mean, that's what it means. And defied our laws. And regardless of what our laws said, and he knew that he was here illegally, he decided to just keep coming back. And it led to the killing of our son. Our son was on his lunch break, just going to cash his paycheck and driving along in his car. And here's someone who shouldn't have been here that ran into him. He didn't know our laws, couldn't read our street signs, didn't know that he wasn't able to or it was not legal to make a U-turn. He plowed into Brandon and he caused Brandon's car to flip several times and it killed him. And it's just devastating when you're a family and your children, you raise your children to be great people, to be God-fearing, to love our nation. And he had so many dreams. He has so many aspirations. He was engaged to be married and had his life, whole life full of ahead of him, full of life and energy, and had just left the house. And to get a call like that, It's every parent's worst nightmare. And that is why we have been deemed angel parents. And unfortunately, it is, I didn't realize how often this happens, how often American families are impacted because of our country's inability or unwillingness in a lot of aspect of securing our borders, until it happened to us. And then I found out, wow, this happens quite often. And quite often, the victims are young people. Quite often, it is car wrecks. We're now seeing fentanyl being on the rise and being the number one reason that Americans are killed. And especially, it's wiping out our young people. So that is what angel families mean. And I'm an angel mom, and Brandon has an older brother and a younger sister, and he now has a nephew that he'll never meet. And when you put all of that together, that is my inspiration. That is my why I ran for office. And thanks to our great governor, DeSantis, he really propelled me, helped me, inspired me, still inspires me. And I made it here into the seat, into the House of Representatives.
Wow. Thank you for sharing your story. It's very touching and moving to hear what happened.
You know, I'll tell you, it's something that it's not easy. People hear me speak, and for a lot of people, they've seen me speak because we traveled all around the U.S., my husband and I, just trying to sound the alarm to someone to just listen to prevent this from happening, because these deaths are 100% preventable, because it's people who should not have been in our nation. And, you know, people will hear me speak, and I think that it doesn't really impact them to a large degree until they put it all together with everything that's happening, and they see the rise of it that's happening. But it is something that it is very hard to speak on, because we relive it every time. And I'm not the only angel parent that's speaking out. There are a lot of angel parents that have been speaking out over the years, just trying to do exactly what I've been trying to do, and other dads that have been trying to do, and moms and sisters and siblings. And so it's not easy for any of us. I mean, the reality is, no matter what we say, no matter how much we want to protect other parents and families from going through this, we know that it will not bring our child back, our loved ones back. So it's a very selfish momentum that we have, and a reason that we have for speaking out. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we go and we go to different states and different cities, and those of us who have the strength to speak out, some do not. And you know, we pray for them, because nobody knows what it's like unless you've walked in that. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do. And at the end of the day, we know we unpack our clothes, we unpack our things, and our child is not coming back. So we just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about E-Verify and how you were instrumental in getting it passed?
Well, I'll tell you, prior to even running for office, I had been working with our governor and some of our legislators in the House and in the Senate. And he really had a great foresight to what was coming, some kind of way. There's just something that he has, something special that he has. And he had been working on things like banning sanctuary cities. And so I'd been going to the state capitol and speaking in committees and speaking out as much as I could, speaking to news media from the capitol. To have legislation passed, and we had tried to pass, other representatives have attempted to pass E-Verify previously in previous years, and they weren't able to get it across. And so I wear that sense of accomplishment with them in mind as well, because it wasn't just my efforts, it was the previous efforts of all the other legislators who tried to pass it as well. And when you culminate that, you put it together. But I think what helped was just having a personal story and having being on the House floor, being an elected legislator, and I'm among my own caucus members. I'm among my own peers. And I think them knowing me or getting to know me, and hearing the heart of a parent and seeing me and being able to touch me and know that I'm real, I think really helped to get this thing passed. And I also believe that the power of persuasion, you just have to have the ability to persuade others who may not agree with you, or they may have been lingering on the fence. Because, you know, the reality is not all Republicans agree with E-Verify. You know, that's the reality. Because if that was the case, it would have been passed years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I think just having the power of persuasion and hearing from a real live person that they know and that serves with them, among them. And I just wasn't, I was determined. I was not going to give up. I was not going to relent. I was not going to take my foot off the pedal, because I knew that without E-Verify, nothing else that we were trying to do as far as fighting back against illegal immigration would make sense. And so I think also what happened or what helped was in my closing statement in the House, because if people, for people who don't know how it works, a bill has to be heard, read and heard three times in whatever committees that it's assigned to, on both the House side and the Senate side. And then it has to be heard three times and passed out of committee. And then before it even makes it to the floor to be heard, it has to be read and heard three times in order for it to pass as law. And so in my closing statements, E-Verify was just one part. It was a huge part of the immigration bill, HB 1617, SB 1718. But immigration was, E-Verify was just a part of the immigration package, but it was the hugest part, because without E-Verify, nothing else in that immigration bill would have made sense. So I think in my closing statement, being able to say, you know, here are the numbers, here is the reality that verifying the employment of employers is very easy. It's a matter of seconds. It's a matter of even a couple of minutes of just putting in information into the browser. And then it's very accurate. It's fast and it's accurate. And it has been proven to work in other states. And that pushback from those who were resisting, I think, and having the numbers that Numbers USA was able, and the data that Numbers USA was able to provide, really helped. But I also will say that in the closing arguments, I did read aloud not just my son's story, but other victims, other young people, other grandmothers and aunts and uncles who have lost their lives or who lives have been severely impacted. And I read just a synopsis of their story. And I think that that made it real. I really think that that helped bring it across the finish line, because these were people from different states. These were people who were from Florida, from all over, places that would not have been considered a border state. We're not a border state. We would not have been considered a border state. But yet, right here in Jacksonville, my son's life was taken. So I think, you know, it was a combination of all of those things, the power of persuasion, just having a personalized story and having a legislator among them that they know or they're getting to know me. And I think just reading the victims, letting them know, I'm not just presenting this about my child, but about other victims. And these families mostly were families that I knew, that I met along the way. And I think that that's what helped. And I think that's what helped push it across the line. But it was definitely a battle. I will say that. It was definitely a battle. But we won.
Yes, you won. And it also sounds like you had the favor of the Holy Spirit on your side as well.
Oh, absolutely. Without the Lord and the power of Holy Spirit and God's hand on me, you know, first of all, I wouldn't even be here. To suffer the loss of a child, a parent does not want to survive that. But to know that I was on the right side of history, that I was on the right side of what the Word of God says, and that I'm speaking through someone who's stronger and higher than me. And that is the Lord, and that is the Holy Spirit having his presence to rest upon me, helped me to even get through a very difficult part of this entire thing. And that is just having to share, open up my heart, make myself vulnerable all over again in front of all of these people, and knowing that it's being streamed across, the state of Florida website, and it will go all over the place. It will go across the United States and across the world. Just brought me some peace. mm-hmm. and comfort in knowing that, you know, I can do this and we're going to make it through.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how did you hear about CDF?
When I was running for office, I heard people talking about CDF. And when I found out that they are a grassroots focused organization, then I was like, wow, I'm grassroots. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely grassroots. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, well, that sounds like me. And, you know, and also that CDF and believes in empowering and equipping everyday American citizens. Mm-hmm. And that's me. I'm not someone who has been groomed for politics. I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother. I'm a wife of a veteran. You know, I have my Bible study groups I need to go to. You know, I've got real mm-hmm. life. I'm a real life person, just a regular person. And that's what our Constitution says that our government should be made up of, is people from all sectors of lives. And somehow I think we've gotten away as a nation, we somehow have gotten away by just putting career politicians in place and just, you know, re-electing them. When it should be made up of exactly what the Constitution says, just regular people like me. And when I knew that, when I found out about CDF and I knew that that's exactly what they were made up of, that's what their motto is, and that they really wanted to defend the liberty at the local level. And that is powerful because, mm-hmm. you know, we can see right now what is happening, the effects of how that impacts a state when the power has been removed from the local level. When it's been removed from even the state level, we see the product of that. And, you know, we can look at D.C. and know that, wait a minute, you know, there's things that should have been brought back to us, back to the state level, that should have been addressed at the state level because they're not getting it done at the federal level. And then there's things at the local level that really needs to be addressed. And CDF, that's really what they're all about, just empowering and equipping just everyday people and grassroots candidates and grassroots efforts. And the fact that they're able to touch every factor, every part of our cultural war that we're in, really, it just enlightened me. And it really provoked me to learn more, to find out more about them. And it was a group that I felt akin to. I did. I felt like this is where I belong. I identify more with mm-hmm. What they believe because I am just a regular person. And there's nothing more powerful than taking a grandmother or a mother or a daddy who might be out there cutting grass, or they may be a barbershop owner, or they may work in a grocery store. There's nothing more powerful and impactful than to take a regular person like that, like me, and empowering them and knowing and helping them to know you can do more. You can get involved in what is going on with our city and with our state, and it can impact our nation. And there's nothing more powerful than that. So I'm honored to have found out about them. I didn't know much, you know, I had never heard of them until I ran for office. And so it was a blessing. It was a good fit.
Mm-hmm. You summarized all that we do. Could you tell us about the recent award that you just accepted?
Oh, sure. I'm just so excited. You know, and it's beautiful too. The 2023 Numbers USA Torchbearer Award for Sensible Immigration. And it was in recognition of E-Verify, passing E-Verify. And it was from Numbers USA. And it is such a beautiful award. If I was able to do a video, people would have loved to have seen it. I would have brought it and just showed it. But, you know, I think that it was quite a surprise because, you know, you don't know that people are really paying attention or, you know, you just do what you do because you care mm-hmm. and because you feel the hand of God on you and God has led us to a certain place. And for somebody for Numbers USA to say, you know what, we not only appreciate what you're doing, but we're going to show you that we recognize what you're doing. And It's a beautiful award. It's acrylic and it has this golden torch on the top. So it's great to be recognized and to receive appreciation, something, a token of appreciation. It's so beautiful. I don't even know which office to put it in. So I'll put it in my office here in Tallahassee. I'm not sure where to put it, but it's a blessing. It really is. It's an honor to be considered a torchbearer, someone that is taking the torch, because that means that, you know what, being a torchbearer, that means that I'm going to reach back and I'm going to give that to somebody else. I'm going to give inspiration to someone else. I'm going to give a hand up, a reach up to someone else, because, you know, there will come a time when my end is here, when my time to serve in the house will come to an end. And it's about empowering the next generation and the next person that comes after me and the grassroots person and another mother that's going to come after me, or another papa or another aunt or uncle. It really is about reaching back and passing that torch, mm-hmm. you know, and telling them to run the race, continue the race on.
Mm-hmm. What was the reasoning behind accepting this award at a CDF meeting?
You know, I think for me, I will say it was because of what CDF stands for, mm-hmm. because they are grassroots driven, as I was saying before, and because I didn't want the politics to be the focus of it. I wanted it to be our citizens, the people, our neighbors. I wanted it to be about showing a visible presence in the community, because it was also, when they presented the award, CDF also came together with numbers, and it was held in my district that I represent, which was key for me. It was vital for me, mm-hmm. That this entire event was held within my district, because I wanted the people, the constituents that I represent to know about what we're doing and the results of who they elected into office and how it's going to be impacted, how they're going to be impacted, how our community is going to be impacted, but also bring recognition to what you all do, what CDF does, what Numbers does, and how they get involved and how they bring back, recognition of what we did, because, you know, we don't do anything alone. It's something that we do collaboratively, and we hold hands and we walk together and we get things done. And, you know, I'm just fortunate that I was the leader in this and to carry this in the house. And I was just a freshman, was just like, it blew my mind, you know, when I was given E-verifying the immigration bill. It really did. it kind of surprised me, but I was grateful at the same time, because, you know, you don't think that you're given something that you would be trusted with something that heavy, that a baby that heavy of that weight, mm-hmm. when you're new into office. But nevertheless, I just knew that that was my tribe. That CDF was more of my tribe because of what they stand for, because of the empowering that they do. And, you know, I don't want to just be remembered when my time is up here. I don't want to be just remembered as just, you know, a regular person or just someone that won office and you never hear about them again. I want to be remembered as someone that inspired others, that reached into our community to pull others forward and to touch those who are grassroots, and know that, you know, you may not have the money, you may not know how you're going to do it, but with the help of the Lord, I'm an example that you can make it, you can win, you can make a difference, you can do it. And CDF, they really exemplify that. That's really what they are. So it just made sense. It was a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, and we really appreciate you, Representative Michael, joining us today. Thank you for all that you're doing.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed this.